धाम की जाए, नवद्वीप धाम की जाए, भक्ति देवी की जाए, तुलसी महारानी की जाए, जमुना देवी की जाए, गंगा देवी की जाए, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाए, गौर प्रेमानंदे, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा. Trinadapi sunichena turariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama 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 eva kibalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata hare krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're about to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Questions by the Sages. And the first three verses of Canto 1 give us a very nice mission statement or understanding of what is Srimad Bhagavatam. What? You have something? Looks like you want to. No, everything's okay? Oh, my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev. So that name is Vasudev. Everyone say? All-pervading personality of Godhead. So he's given you both definitions of the word Vasudev. He's the son of Vasudev, and he's the all-pervading. Those are the two definitions of Vasudev. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes. Of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. So, in those sentences, Vyasadeva has given you a nice definition of what is the absolute truth. He is, why is he the absolute? He's the cause of all causes. And he's directly and indirectly conscious of everything. And he is independent. Therefore, we have that word in the verse, Svarat. He is completely independent. You and I, we are minutely independent or partially independent, but we're not absolutely or completely independent. That is not our position. If we were, then we would be God, but we're not. We're part and parcel of God, and we have minutely the qualities of God, but we do not have absolute or complete total independence. But Krishna does. He has absolute complete independence. All right, let's continue now with Vyasadeva's opening instruction. All right. So now the next part. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. Of course, you could say Krishna in his form as Narayan, because we will read later on in Canto 2, it is Narayan who appears and gives Brahma the first four nutshell verses of Bhagavatam. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. So here in this next part, Vyasadeva is indicating that Krishna or Narayan is distinct from all the sages and demigods, because it says here, by him they are placed into illusion. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested. So, the spiritual world is not temporarily manifested. The spiritual world, Krishna's abodes in Vaikuntha, they are eternally manifested. There is no creation. They are ever existing. The material worlds, they are temporarily manifested. How? By the three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. How do the spiritual planets exist? Eternity, knowledge, and bliss, not goodness, passion, and ignorance. They appear factual, although they are unreal. That's why they're called illusory. It looks like reality, but it's not. I therefore meditate upon him. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that this first verse of Bhagavatam is a Gayatri mantra. In Gayatri mantras, you have this word, dhimahi, which means I meditate, right? Om Bhur Bhuvasva Tat Savitro Varanyam Bhargo Devasya dhimahi. In other Gayatri mantras, this word dhimahi also appears, which means I meditate upon. So Vyasadeva is meditating upon Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode. And that answers another question which we get sometimes. People say, so when Krishna comes here, is he absent in the spiritual world? No. It's not that they're waiting for Krishna to come back. He's always in the spiritual world, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. So, the spiritual world, there is no illusion, it's reality. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, second of the first three introductory verses. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. So there's a lot there in that first sentence. So there are two kinds of religion: materialistic or cheating religion, and then pure or real spiritual religion. Bhagavatam is not going to talk about the material cheating kinds of religion. And next thing, it's going to propound the highest truth. And who is qualified? You have to be pure in heart. Or you have to be non-envious. Envy is the original sin. The reason why we are here in this material world is because at some point we became envious of God, and therefore the envious souls are placed into the material world. When you become free from envy, now you are qualified. Same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. I forget which chapter. Because you are never envious of me, Krishna says, I'm going to impart this transcendental knowledge. That's an important point. If we want to understand, we have to become free from envy. As a side note, somebody that I know did my Bhagavad Gita home study program like you did. You did Bhagavad Gita, right? So, this person did the Bhagavad Gita home study program, then started to do Bhagavatam, and could not get beyond the first few chapters. And he asked me, how come I don't want to go forward? And I said, this is probably the reason. There's some envy there. Otherwise, if you're, as it says here, those who are fully pure in heart, they can understand Bhagavatam. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So, Bhagavatam is not sectarian. Bhagavatam is for anyone and everyone. And it's going to talk about the highest truth. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. The threefold miseries, those coming from your own body and mind, those coming from other living entities, and those caused by the demigods in terms of climate, environment, weather, those kinds of things. Tornadoes, earthquakes, all right? The threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. That is why Prabhupada's guru Bhakti Siddhanta said, if all the books in the world are destroyed, but there's still Bhagavatam, we're okay. Because it says right here, this book is sufficient in itself for God realization. It said he, Vyasadeva wrote it in his maturity. In chapter 5 of this first canto, that is explained. That Vyasadeva woke up one day despondent, and his guru came, Rama, who was his guru? Narada Muni. Vyasadeva asked him, what is the root cause of my despondency? And Narada said, because you did not properly explain and glorify Krishna. So it was Narada who told Vyasadeva, compile this Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? It's all about Krishna, Krishna's service, and his devotees. And when we say Krishna, that includes six kinds of avatars, six kinds of incarnations. They are all explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the need of any other scripture? Once someone appreciates Bhagavatam, he or she feels, I don't need anything else. Everything is here. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam. So that's the two things. Attentive and submissive. By this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. Yes, Krishna is already there, but we want to be able to properly seat him in the heart. So, in order for Bhagavatam to really act, there has to be rapt attention and submissive. Submissive means not challenging. Hearing and trying to understand. You can ask questions. That's nothing wrong with that. On Facebook earlier this week, somebody asked me, because some devotee said to this person not to doubt or question. I said, no. You can doubt, you can question, but it has to be submissive. That when the explanation is given, when the answer is given, then you accept. By this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. And now we go to the last of the three introductory verses. Okay? O expert and thoughtful men. Whoops. O expert and thoughtful men. Hold on, I lost my place. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam. In the actual Sanskrit, the word pibata is used. Pibata means to drink. So how do you drink Bhagavatam, Rama? Yes, through the ear. You develop spiritual senses. When you have spiritual senses, now you're not limited to your material senses. So you drink through your ear. You drink the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam through the ear. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. So this is explained. The Vedas are like a tree. Any kind of knowledge you want is there on this tree of the Vedas. And the ripened fruit of this tree is Srimad Bhagavatam. It emanated from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. And that's another concept that's explained later on. When Suta Goswami is saying that Shukadeva Goswami was self-realized in the womb, but even he was attracted by the pastimes of Krishna. And Suta Goswami says, this proves that Krishna is supreme, because even liberated souls are attracted to hear and chant about Krishna. All right, the next point here, Shuka. Shuka means parrot. So it seems that when the fruit is picked by the beak of the parrot, the fruit becomes more sweet. So Bhagavatam, compiled by Vyasadeva, was already sweet. But this particular Bhagavatam, we get through the narration of Shukadeva. So by his narration, that which was already sweet has become even more sweet. Just like there's this thing, Gujaratis make ras, mango ras, right? And then you put a little ghee on it, yes? And it becomes better, yes. Can I have more, please? Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Okay, so we finished the preamble to the constitution of Srimad Bhagavatam, and now we get to the opening scene. If you're ready to proceed, please chant the Maha Mantra. All righty. One second here. All right. Once in a holy place, in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages, headed by the sage Shaunaka, assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. So, we're going to be sitting and doing this for about an hour. They're doing for 1,000 years. Can't be imitated. Number two, what was the purpose of their sacrifice? Satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. People do sacrifices or homa, but many times it's simply for selfish, materialistic gains. But these sages, they simply want to satisfy God and his devotees. That's a pure sacrifice, and that is actually what will actually please God. That kind of sacrifice, that is pleasing. One day, after finishing their morning duties by burning a sacrificial fire and offering a seat of esteem to Srila Suta Goswami, just like you allowed me to sit here. This is, you have offered me a seat of esteem. The great sages made inquiries with great respect about the following matters. So yes, in spiritual life, there has to be inquiry. There has to be questions and answers. But the mark here, with great respect. Then the person you're approaching will be inclined to answer nicely. But if there's challenging and if there's no respect, then the person may not be so inclined to give you the best possible answer that's there. The sages said, respected Sutta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life and in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Being the eldest learned Vedantist, O Sutta Goswami, you are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Godhead. And you also know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge. So the sages, headed by Shaunaka, are giving their understanding why they have selected Sutta as the person they're going to question. Sutta has quite a resume here, right? He's completely free from all vice. He's sinless. All right, he's well-versed. That's another good thing. He's gone through them under proper guidance. That's another point. And he's already explained. All right, he's the eldest learned Vedantist. He's acquainted with Vyasadeva, and he also knows other great sages. So the sages of Naimisharanya know we have selected possibly the best man for the job here. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. So here's another important point, that a student must be submissive, and when the student is submissive, then the spiritual master blesses. Just like parents will bless a child that is obedient. They're not going to bless a disobedient child. Parents will bless the child who is obedient. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. When this word scientifically learned means it's not just book knowledge. He's actually realized everything that he was taught. There's a big difference. You can have, say, you had to go to law school, yes? You went to law school in India or here? In London. All right. So you learned in London. I believe London's law is at a very high level to be a barrister in London. So, even in America, they say to get a law degree in California or New York is the most difficult. So there's a different standard. Okay? So, yes, you may have gone to Harvard or some prestigious law firm, you may know, but then the question is, how much actual practice do you have? Right? If I'm in a very difficult legal position, I'm going to go with a lawyer who already has a history of success. I'm not going to go with a first-year law person who's just starting out. You know, you're going to want to go, you know, with the person who's already won so many cases. So here it says, so that's vijnana. That's scientific. You know the law and you've already been tested. You've already gone to trial and you have proven that you are qualified. Please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. This is a great question. They want to understand easily. They want to understand easy what Sutta has ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. If they had asked me, let's say I was in this, and somebody was asking me, what have you ascertained, Nirantara Das, to be the absolute and ultimate good? And I would say two things. What I chant before every class, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarariva Sahishnuna, Amanina Amanadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, and then Harenama, Harenama, Harenama Eva Kivalam. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatiranyata. That's how I would answer. They continue. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So short-lived, in Satya Yuga, people lived 100,000 years. Treta Yuga, 10,000 years. Dwapara Yuga, 1,000 years. Kali Yuga, at best, what? Yes, you're eternal, but as it was stated in the beginning, because of envy, that's why we're here. And until that envy is completely given up, you don't get to go back to the spiritual kingdom. So we're here because we still have some envy. And we're taking on different bodies based on the desires. That's why the only reason we take on another material body is because we still have some independent or separate desire other than completely surrendering to Krishna. When you are completely surrendered to Krishna, that means no more envy. Once that is fully 100% there, then no more taking birth. What? Go ahead. Well, envy in the material sense is symptomatic of the envy of God, the original envy. What does envy mean? I will explain. Envy means I want to be the enjoyer, I want to be the proprietor, and I want everyone to like me. In Bhagavad Gita, Raman knows this verse. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantam richati. Prabhupada calls that verse the peace formula. So, in order for us to be peaceful, or in order for us to return home back to Godhead, these three things have to be completely understood. That Krishna is the proprietor. Just like you've heard me say so many times, when I go to people's houses and I tell them, oh, you have a very nice house. Every Indian family says, oh, Prabhu, this is Krishna's house. Every family says that. So that's good that they think like that. Okay? So, for someone to be a pure devotee, the pure devotee knows everything belongs to Krishna. And the pure devotee knows, I'm not the enjoyer, I'm the servant. God is the enjoyer, I am simply his servant. And then the last item, it's not about me. I'm not the center of creation. God is the person from whom all worship and glory should come. So Shonaka is explaining the symptoms of Kali Yuga. In this age of Kali, men have but short lives, we already explained, compared to the other ages. And what are the symptoms of a Kali Yuga person? Quarrelsome, lazy, especially they're lazy for spiritual life, especially. Misguided, yes, because they get cheated by so many cheating philosophies and cheating religions, or they take advice from the wrong person. Unlucky, what does unlucky mean? Unlucky means not pious. If you're not pious, you can't have auspiciousness. And above all, always disturbed. People's minds in the age of Kali are always disturbed. Now, did we finish your question about... You had a question. Yes. Yes, and that Krishna is the person who is should be the center, not me. When somebody is, we say, egotistical, right? They want everything to be about them. This is another problem we see with couples, husband and wife. If either of them become too self-centered, it causes a problem. They want it to be all about them. No. For somebody who's self-realized, a self-realized person realizes, no, it's not about me. It's about Krishna. Okay? We're good there? Proceed? All right. There are varieties of scriptures, and in all of them, there are many prescribed duties, which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instruction their hearts may be fully satisfied. So it's similar to the first question. The first question was, what is the highest truth you have learned? And explain it to us easy, how we can understand it easily. So here it's very similar. They're saying, Sutta, you have gone through all the Vedas, you have learned everything. Tell us what is the essence. For instance, when I speak to a Christian group, then I always refer to a particular incident in the Bible where Jesus explained the essence, which is to love God, which fits in very well with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and teachings of Krishna. So I use that as a bridge. But that's the idea. What is the essence of the thing? And they want this essence to be something that's good for everybody. Okay, next. All blessings upon you, O Sutta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudeva. So Rama, what was that purpose? Why did Krishna appear in the womb of Devaki? Yes, very good. Any other reasons? Anybody know any other reasons? Why Krishna? Yes, Rama? That's a good one. Anything else? Yes, very good. That's good. Any other reasons? Could I have some more? Sorry to bother you. Another reason. Yes, yes. Some aspects of Krishna's Leela is like that. That would be better applied to Lord Ram. Because Lord Ram showed how to be the ideal human. Krishna, some of his pastimes, like Krishna's pastimes in Dwaraka, yes, you could say. Because he lived as an ideal householder. Another answer, all your answers were good. But another answer is the very opening scene. Mother Earth takes the form of a cow. She complains to Lord Brahma, and they go to the ocean of milk. So you could say another reason is that because the demigods, headed by Mother Earth and Brahma, asked Krishna to please take care. Because there was Bhubara. There was, the earth was feeling too much burden because of Kamsa and all the demons. Good. Excellent. Let us continue. O Suta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and His incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. So the Vedic process is the descending process. The Western process is the ascending process. But the Vedic process is descending. We want to get the knowledge as it is coming down from God to Guru like that. The descending process. We are not interested in research. Those who are following the Vedas, research is not very important. In the Western, research is everything. But in the Vedic conception of things, there's no question of research. If you want to research, research what has already been given from the, as it says here, previous masters. What has the previous saints and authorities given? Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. And that reminds us of Ajamila. Ajamila was not calling Narayan. He was calling his son. But his son's name was Narayan. He had no intention of calling Narayan, but Narayan, the real Narayan, delivered him from the Yamadutas. So that's what comes to mind immediately when I see this verse. That, and this brings to mind what I was saying earlier, Harename Eva Kevalam. In this age of Kali, you only need to know one thing, that the name of God is God. Chant the name of God. In other, if I'm preaching to non-Hindus, then I will say, if you understand God by this name, that name, good. Chant that name. So long as it signifies the Supreme Being. We're not hung up. Chant the name of God as you understand and become delivered. Because in this age, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam. Alright, and it's feared by fear personified. O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them. Whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. So if you come in contact with a great devotee of Krishna, a great devotee of God, you will get immediate benefits. So when you come in contact, take full advantage. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord. That is like a rhetorical question. But if you really want to know, it's explained in the 10th canto. Who is not interested in hearing about God? It is the person who is Atmaha, a person who is a Pashugna. An Atmaha or Pashugna means a butcher, somebody who is either killing animals directly or trying to kill their own soul. How do you kill your own soul? By purposely neglecting transcendental subject matter. That's how you become an Atmaha. You act in such a way that you make it more and more difficult to put yourself in a position where you can understand God. We see people like that. They refuse to attend these kinds of programs. They refuse to go to a temple for a religious function. They're more interested in simply enjoying their senses. They have no inclination. Or the person who is directly killing animals. These persons are not attracted. The Lord's transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious. And great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please therefore speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. So the key word, eager. And that will be explained later. How do you get that eagerness? You get that eagerness by serving great devotees. That's how you get the eagerness to want to hear about God. You serve great devotees. O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, who is the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers. Yes. Even when God comes to this world, He is not touched by the material energy. Krishna, or like Ramachandra, they come to this earth, people can see them, they're real, but even they're here, they're still untouched by the material energy. They're still in a transcendental position. This is a very important point. Because if I think, oh, when God comes, now He is also under the laws of nature, then I become a great offender. No. Krishna, Ram, any avatar comes, they are not touched by the material modes of nature like we are. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Therefore, there's a name. Uttama Shloka, everybody say. Uttama Shloka means God is such that only select verses and words and hymns and prayers are used to glorify Him. Uttama Shloka, everyone? Good. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with Him relish hearing of His pastimes at every moment. For instance, a businessman. Somebody who's a businessman, whenever there's something, how to make money, he becomes very interested. Right? If somebody is very lusty for women, then he becomes addicted. And it becomes very apparent that whole consciousness of chasing after beautiful women completely consumes him. Even though he may have a wife, and all the while he's simply thinking, how can I enjoy more and more women? So somebody who is a real devotee is eager at every moment to hear and chant about God. That's the mark of somebody who's a real devotee. That they're addicted to God. That's the key. They're addicted to spiritual life. Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with his brother Balaram, played like a human being and, so masked, performed many superhuman acts. So this explains to us the Krishna Leela. Because as the 10th canto begins, Krishna appears to Vasudeva and Devaki as four-armed Narayan. Then he transforms himself to look like an ordinary human baby. And he begins to grow up, and it looks like he's an ordinary human. But as so many demons find out, beginning with Putana, this is not some ordinary human baby. Even though Krishna is only 7 years old, he lifts Govardhan Hill. So he looks like an ordinary human being, but by his actions, he proves and demonstrates time and time again. Not only is he not a human being, but he is the supreme above all other incarnations. And demons found that out, even demigods. Indra thought this is just some talkative child. Indra could not believe that Krishna could come down and be one of the cowherd people. But after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, then Indra realized, whoa. And then when Krishna chastised Indra, Krishna told Indra, Indra, you're only Indra because I allow you to be Indra. I could take away your position at any time. So if you want to remain Indra, don't be puffed up. So demons found out. Demigods found out. Brahma found out. Brahma also was, this can't be my lord and master. He tried to play a trick on Krishna. But Krishna tricked Brahma. So in this way, throughout the Krishna Leela, Krishna is acting. He looks like an ordinary human being, but he's not. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, because when did the age of Kali begin? The day that Krishna returned back to Godhead at the end of Dwapara Yuga. The very day Krishna left, Kali Yuga began. Knowing very well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way perform sacrifice. So they're not just doing Homa. The real thing they're doing is they're going to hear the science of God from Suta Goswami. They're going to hear Krishna Katha. They're going to hear all about, and they've already stipulated, we want to know all about Krishna's pastimes. We want to know his incarnations. We want to know what is the essence of everything Sutta that you have learned from your teachers. So they are simply going to be absorbed in asking questions and hearing the authorities' response. That is how they're going to do sacrifice. Yes? It appears that way. I mean, it doesn't give an exact, but it's early in Kali Yuga. It's early. Okay? Kali Yuga now has been 5,000 years. So it's definitely before this. It doesn't give an exact date, okay? It doesn't say exactly when. But obviously, it's after Krishna's appearance and it's before present day. Okay? Let us continue. We think that we have met you by the will of providence. So what is the will of providence? The will of providence means the hand of God, Supersoul, Daiva. These are all synonyms. So that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. And we will see this day by day. In the age of Kali, human beings will become little by little more and more sinful. More and more. Each generation becomes less pious and becomes more materialistic, and not just materialistic, but more sinful. So, it is later explained, Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. So, Bhagavatam is like a ship which will help you ply through this ocean. Since Sri Krishna, the absolute truth and the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom religious principles have now gone for shelter. Because when Krishna was here, the complete personification of religion, truthfulness, purity, Krishna was there. I think it was Rama or you, one of you said, Krishna came to show, right, how Supreme God exhibits and demonstrates, here I am. So, now that Krishna is gone, they want to know, where will we find religion? And it's revealed in chapter 3. The answer, Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, that's where people can actually find true, real religious principles. And that's the end of the chapter. Good enough? Amazing? Good. Rama, okay, I'll chant. What do you want to do now? We'll do a little kirtan then. What do you want to do? Okay. Okay, let me just chant a little bit. And then Arti? Okay.
Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Very good.